Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
So, when you go to the grocery store, walk past the fridges and have a look at the fresh produce that we have, how often do you buy grapes made in South Africa? I'm keen to hear your thoughts, because it's not just us as South Africans that are enjoying the taste, the sweetness and the complexity of our table grapes, but our counterparts in the United States are experiencing the same delight. Now, there's been increased demand for South African table grapes as the industry has concluded a successful 2024-2025 season. Essentially, exports have shot up by 25% despite the recent threat of tariffs. To help us understand more about the table grape industry is the CEO of the South African table grape industry, Sati Mercia Peterson. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mercia.
Good evening, Guguletu. Thank you for the opportunity.
We have some great news to discuss today, and I'm excited about it. But I guess let's just start off firstly by understanding the role function of your institution, especially the critical role you play in facilitating trade for local participants in South Africa.
Yes, thanks very much. So for context to the listeners, SATI, or South African Table Grape Industry, as you've mentioned, we are the producer association for table grapes in South Africa. And what this means is that we represent all farmers who grow table grapes, which are the ones that you correctly mentioned we buy in the supermarkets, as opposed for grapes that are grown for winemaking, which is a totally different industry. And as SATI, we are like a mouthpiece, and we represent the industry at strategic platforms and government circles. And we're also involved in things like promoting the South African brand globally. We make sure that we provide information in as real time as possible that producers can use to inform on-farm decisions. So it's a representation of an industry that comprises more than 300 producers, and they are situated in 5 regions across the country.
Sure.
So the first region starts quite way up north around the Groblersdal Marble Hall area, and then we move down to the Western Cape, where we have 3 of the growing regions. All in all, these producers have more than 500 farms across the country. So I think, yeah, sure, that's what SATI does. And we're involved in things like research, market access, logistics, transformation, and a number of other services as well.
This is exciting. I didn't know that we have such a strong and solid industry that produces grapes, even all the way up in Groblersdal. We typically think it's unique to the Western Cape only in the country. But as you say, you play a very critical role in terms of market access. And maybe let's just start there. You're not just providing grapes that we enjoy as South Africans, but right across the world. Help us understand where we export to and where the US in particular features as a key market for our grape producers.
Yeah, correct. We're an export-driven industry. So South Africa exports more than 90% of the grapes that are driven here. And in terms of where we play globally, we actually are the world's 4th largest exporter of table grapes by volume, and the 3rd largest in the Southern Hemisphere, following Peru and Chile.
Sure.
So we actually have quite a predominant position in the global market space, where our main products are exported to the EU and the UK. So these are South Africa's stronghold markets. We have longstanding relationships there. And in the EU this season, we sent 58% of our exports. So that totals almost 45 million cartons in a 4.5 kilogram equivalent. And to the UK, we send 18% of our total crop, which is about 14.5 million cartons. So those are South Africa's stronghold markets. We are one of the main suppliers there. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned, we have also seen an increase in our exports to other markets, North America being one of them. So North America comprises Canada and the USA. And in the past season, we sent 7.5 million cartons to that market, which is a 25% increase on what we saw last season. And we're really encouraged by this. The fact that we are seeing this means that, you know, our product is appreciated in the market, and South Africa has demonstrated that we are a reliable supplier and we can give the market the spec that it requires. American the American market does require quite a high specification product.
Yeah.
And we are encouraged by the growth that we have observed there.
I'm so encouraged because on the back of what's unfolded in the last few months, naturally everyone is worried about our trade relationship with the United States. So as you say, this is a reflection of the yearly performance. This is encouraging. But what about the threats and the concerns that have been raised by the imposition of the 30% proposed tariffs?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously something real that we're all dealing with at the moment. We are facing some uncertain times in our global geopolitical landscape. And I think what is really important there is the way that government and industry can collaborate and work together to reach favorable solutions. And we've really seen this in the last months. As you've mentioned, tariffs, what happened with tariffs in the USA was a very unexpected announcement, and we needed to act very quickly. It forced both government and industry to fast-track processes that would generally take years into a number of weeks. And we had really good support from the various government departments. We worked closely with them, and we made sure that they had the correct information so that they could adequately represent the South African fresh produce industry. Mm. And it's not only grapes. It also applies to other commodities. The industry association bodies would have done the same thing. And we worked very closely with various departments and leadership ahead of the recent White House visit.
Oh, how did that go?
As mentioned, it went well. I mean, we had good collaboration, and we also channeled a lot of information through AGBIS, which is the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Mm-hmm. They play an important, very important role at times like this. And I mean, really what it could mean for us is that it wouldn't be a good outcome if South Africa had a higher tariff than other suppliers to the USA, such mm-hmm. as Peru and Chile. In that scenario, it would mean that the playing field is not level. And that would obviously put South Africa at a disadvantage, which has certain risks to the industry. So we are really working towards a favorable outcome. And for us, that would be, at best, it would continue to have a 0% tariff as we had under the AGOA agreement. Mm-hmm. And in the absence of that, the best outcome would be for South Africa to have the same tariff as Peru and Chile, which at the moment it looks like it might be a 10%, given that is the base that has been applied to all markets around the world. And once again, this is where it's important for government and industry to collaborate closely in terms of public-private partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Have we got any deadlines or timeframes as to when we'll hear feedback on these outcomes?
Well, the 90-day pause that was placed on the tariff increases, that ends in the middle of July. So we are really hoping to have feedback before then. The South African export season starts in November, and it will be important that we have some concrete information well in advance of that so that industry can organize itself and plan accordingly.
Okay, got you. This is so intriguing, Mercia. And I, as you say, you know, there's a lot of aspects at play, ongoing negotiations, the business as well as the public sector having to work closely together to see these outcomes. So we will follow up mid-July on this conversation. But I'm also intrigued if we go deeper into, you know, the role and function of your organization, but also the produce that you make. Many people might still be sitting here wondering, hold on. Table grapes, as you've mentioned, it's for consumption versus wine. But help us, you know, understand the fundamental difference of perhaps even the farming and agricultural process and the difference between wine grapes and table grapes, and even how these international markets have such stringent controls on the quality of the grapes that we're able to produce.
Yeah, so I mean, look, grapes, both table grapes and wine grapes are vine fruits, and there are some similarities in the way that they are produced. Now, I'm not a technical expert, so I could share with the viewers, the listeners, just a high level.
Sure.
But there are some differences and nuances in things like, for example, the trellis systems that would be used. So trellises are those wooden structures you would see on a vineyard mm-hmm. that the vines would wrap themselves around. So table grapes and wine grapes use different trellis systems. Then there would be differences that are applied during times like pruning. and differences in the irrigation, the types of irrigation that is applied to the product. So again, this is not extremely technical, just a high level view, but table grapes are more labor intensive because when it comes to the harvest, you need a lot of hands. You know, you've actually got people that are at the vines inspecting, checking whether we're ready to harvest, and then cutting those bunches. And because it's so sensitive and you've got to make sure that the berries reach the market in a good condition, you don't necessarily want to have too much automation at that stage of the game. And that's also why it's an important local economic driver, because there are a lot of jobs that are created by the table grape sector.
How many jobs do you create currently in South Africa?
For table grapes alone in South Africa, we currently support 105,000 employment opportunities, about 15 to 20% of those which are permanent, and a large portion of those which are seasonal, which come into play for about 6 months of the year during our harvest season. And it's quite significant. I mean, those jobs are valued at 3.83 billion rand per annum. And last year in 2024, table grapes contributed around 15 million to national GDP. So it's fairly significant. That represents about 10% of the overall horticultural sector's contribution to national GDP.
This is quite big. And I think next time anyone visits a vineyard, you know, we'll have a look at the grapes differently. I do understand the fruit and the flavor, the size as well, differs between both wine and table grapes. Something else you mentioned about the, you know, complexity of the harvesting. I'm also quite keen to know about the processing as well, especially when it comes to the full value chain. Because this is fresh produce and does need to get and be consumed within a specific time frame. How does it work when you export to international markets? In terms of the time frame, the movement of the product, and how quickly and effectively, you know, grapes that are produced in South Africa or Groblersdal can then find themselves sitting on a table in Miami.
Yeah, very important point, and that links to the logistics conversation and why the fact that operations at the port have such a big impact on not only grapes but other fresh produce as well. So there is an entire value chain behind it. You're 100% correct. From harvest, grapes will go to a cold store. They need to be stored in certain conditions at certain temperatures. It's very important to maintain the pulp temperature because you don't want grapes to heat up, and then that could affect the quality of the berries. And from there, they need to be trucked to wherever they will be exported from. Those trucks need to be cooled. So that is another very important part of the value chain. And it's obviously also part of the input costs. You've got to have cool trucks, which will drive your product to where it is going to be packed onto the ship. And when it reaches that point, let's say it's Cape Town Port, it still needs to be kept cool until it is loaded onto the ship. So there are plug-in points at the port that help us keep reefer containers cool, and then it will get loaded onto the ship where it continues to be plugged in. So throughout that process, the cold chain needs to be kept intact. That is an extremely important part of the value chain, and more especially with table grapes that are highly perishable. If you compare it to something different, another commodity like apples or citrus, you can just imagine that grapes with these individual berries are much more sensitive and much more susceptible to damage than some of the other harder wearing type of fruits. So very important to maintain that cold chain, and also why it's important that we have a well-functioning port. This is another area where industry and government have collaborated very closely in the last few years. And we have seen improvements at Cape Town Port. It was one of the reasons that the season was better this year. The logistics ran much more smoothly than it has in the past, and we are really grateful for that. And we have various forums where we engage with players like Transnet and others, and we'll continue to do those in the interest of the industry.
so important, especially given the multiplier effect and the influence and impact on the economy going forward. Mercia, I'm excited to hear more. And maybe also as part of our reflection, I can't ignore the fact that there were floods that took place in the Western Cape, if not this year, the year before. And I'm quite keen to understand, you know, climate change, weather conditions, extreme, whether it's El Nino or La Nina. Has this played any influence on the harvests and production outputs?
Yeah, I mean, climate change and climate conditions is an extremely a factor that impacts our industry a lot. Grapes typically don't like too much water or too much rain, especially for prolonged periods of time. So this season, like as we mentioned, there was no major weather impact. Out of the five growing regions, four regions managed to exceed their crop estimate. The one region that reached 82%, so 82% versus the 100 that we were aiming for, that was actually the Northern Provinces region up around Groblersdal area. They experienced some rain in the early part of their season in December, which impacted the volumes that they were able to pack. But they still reached a good number, and they were able to pack quality, which is important. You should always make sure that you're exporting quality product. Last year, 2 years ago, actually, we had a heat wave in the Orange River region. Mm-hmm. That was a significant event that impacted our industry. So 5 year volumes for table grape industry average around 74, 75 million cartons that are exported annually, mm-hmm. whereas 2 years ago we were at 63.5, and that was due to the losses in the Orange River because of the heat wave. The Orange River represents 30% of the national crop, and therefore an impact on a region that has a third of your national volume would obviously have a big impact on your national exports as well. So that's just an example of, you know, two seasons ago where we did have a big impact. And this season we were really fortunate. There was no major weather events like that. And we actually reached record export volumes. This was the highest number recorded in South Africa to date at 77.8 million cartons exported.
Well, would you look at that? Let's hope that the weather holds up, eh? And that, yes, whilst we love the rain, not too much, though, for our grape farmers, specifically table grapes. This has been a really educational conversation, Mercia. Thank you so much for the update. And hopefully we get some clarity on the tariffs in mid-July to ensure that the harvest come November will also be a profitable one. Thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Gugulethu. Look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you. Mercia Peterson, CEO of South African Table Grape Industry, helping us understand just the phenomenal level of growth, export and harvest that we've had in South Africa. So next time you grow past your grocery store and have a look at table grapes, regardless of the color, know that we actually export 90% of what we produce to external markets. Isn't that quite something? And yet there's still enough for us to go, in the local market to go by. Phenomenal.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.